Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the India pricing of the OnePlus 8 and the OnePlus 8 Pro, which was not announced in the previous episode when we spoke about the iPhone SE 2020's launch and also some thoughts, some initial thoughts about the OnePlus 8 and the 8 Pro and their US pricing. So now that we have the India price of these two devices, we think it's a great time to be talking about them. Considering that the hardware is new, this is the largest selling premium brand in India right now, I think, according to certain research firms that do this for a living. And I think that OnePlus has become, you know, big enough in India that a lot of people care about where they launch their devices. Now, we've spoken about this before, the fact that OnePlus started out as an upstart that's that launches its flagship grade phones at really low prices. And slowly we've seen the company transition into a premium brand, one that makes true flagships and not just, you know, phones that have 80% of flagship features at maybe like 60 or 70% of the price. But and now with this transition, we have two new smartphones here, and one of them, I think we can call it a true flagship, which is the OnePlus 8 Pro, considering all the features that it ships with. We'll get to that in a bit, but we'll be starting this discussion with the OnePlus 8's India pricing, because that's a phone that most people who are interested in getting a premium smartphone in India will be looking at. So first up, let me introduce the people who are on this episode with me. Ali Pardiwala, who's our lockdown podcast expert at this point.
Namaskar.
Namaskar, indeed. And we also have Aditya Shenoy, who's finally emerged from, I suppose, some lockdown blues. And he's decided he wants to be on the podcast as well.
Yes, I was finally invited for this one.
Yeah, so Aditya is our resident Android expert. Both hey Ali and Aditya have reviewed a whole bunch of phones, and also they've seen OnePlus phones, used OnePlus phones long enough to be able to talk about this brand and their new smartphones as well. Now, just one clarification, we still haven't seen any unit of OnePlus 8 or 8 Pro. So everything we are saying is based on what we've seen in the news during the live stream. All the information that we've read about this smartphone from OnePlus and from other sources, it's not something that we can say from first-hand experience. So we'll be limiting a discussion of that. We'll be talking more about the price and the strategy, because there are a lot of interesting things that have happened since the previous episode. So I think let's get this podcast started by talking about the OnePlus 8's base variant. Now, the 6GB RAM, 128GB storage variant was the one that was launched in India. And the price is 41,999 rupees. The base variant is the one that looks most interesting, because at 42,000 rupees, with the Snapdragon 865 processor and some really lovely hardware in that, you know, 90Hz refresh rate display, and also OnePlus's premium build quality. These things, I think at 42,000, they offer good value personally. But then again, one thing I want to bring up here is that the 6GB RAM, 128GB storage variant was not announced for the US. They brought it in India only, as far as I know, until now. And that too, you have to remember that the OnePlus 7T, the base variant of that, launched with 8GB of RAM. So do you guys have any thoughts on why OnePlus may have chosen to go with a 6GB RAM variant here and take maybe half a step backward in that aspect?
Well, here, in terms of the RAM, you know, I think this is mainly an option, or, you know, a choice that they've taken in order to lower the starting price of this particular smartphone, because we've seen that the base price of every OnePlus smartphone has been going up every 6 months, because OnePlus follows a two smartphone launch per year cycle. So we've seen that the prices have been going up, and again, when you look at the rupee to dollar you know, conversion right now, it's not favorable. So naturally the price was going to be you know, way off what it was with, say, the OnePlus 7T. So, you know, the OnePlus 7T, for example, it launched at, what, 37,999. And if they were to go with the base variant, like US, it would have costed 45,000 rupees, which is a significant bump. And, you know, even when you look at the current price of the OnePlus 7T, which is 34,999, it's a 10,000 rupee, more than 10,000, 11,000 rupee price difference between the two. So, you know, it might have been a move on their part to make it accessible to people, because what they usually do is they also discontinue the previous models or phase it out. So, you know, people really won't have a choice to go with an older model. So this might just be a move on their part.
Yeah, and on those lines, there was another, the other thing was that, I mean, in the US, they, when they had the big launch on the 14th of April, they said that there's only 8 and 12 GB RAM options. the 6 GB option kind of took us by surprise when it was announced. But yes, it definitely has something to do with the India market. It has something to do with trying to offer the most competitive price. And this is a variant that isn't visible in any other markets. It's only there in India for the time being. And it is a way for OnePlus to kind of say, you know what, we still have very competitive pricing. We're not edging closer to Samsung and Apple territory just yet. You can get a starting OnePlus phone for 42,000 rupees, and this is a flagship phone for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I actually agree with the reasoning offered by both of you. I think partly also, I mean, I'm not sure how much of this strategy is inspired by other people's pricing, but partly the iPhone SE 2020 launching at 42,500 rupees for the base variant would have inspired OnePlus to maybe offer their phone at a lower price. I think the OnePlus did not announce their price until after Apple's launch. The iPhone SE event was the iPhone SE press release email was one day after OnePlus 8 and 8 Pro's global launch. So I do think that the India pricing, maybe they waited on purpose to see what Apple does with the pricing and reveal it accordingly. But once again, I'm not 100% sure on how quickly they can move on these things. You know, like, I feel a little bad to even suggest that OnePlus may have decided to launch a 6 GB RAM variant just because, you know, the iPhone SE 2020 is available at a lower price than the OnePlus 8's 8 GB.
Honestly, I wouldn't rule any of that out, to be yeah, completely fair. This is absolutely something that OnePlus is capable of. I don't think I wouldn't say that they didn't have, it's not like it was an overnight decision or anything like that, but I have a feeling that they kind of guessed that the iPhone SE 2020 would be launching somewhere in the 40,000 to 45,000 rupee price range, and they had decided to set their price at the last possible minute. But I have a feeling that they definitely had that 6 GB variant in the plans simply to undercut the iPhone SE's price. It's not something that I would discount. It is completely possible.
Yes, so I kind of agree with Ali here, because, you know, we've seen multiple brands doing it. We've also seen, like, Samsung, for example, the Samsung Galaxy M30. I remember that they launched the smartphone with two variants only, and a couple of months later they brought in a new variant, a lower variant, just to get the price down, and, you know, down to 10,000 rupees at least for that particular smartphone. So OnePlus probably had the 6 GB RAM version ready, and at this point ready is only on paper, because they are definitely not manufacturing phones and they are not going to be selling it anytime soon. I hope that changes, but they were waiting for the iPhone pricing, because you don't want to come off as, you claim to be a flagship killer and then you are more expensive than, say, an iPhone. So they probably
definitely be very, very embarrassing if the latest iPhone was cheaper than the latest one.
And even when you look... even when you look at the pricing, what the difference is, 500 bucks, right? So it's only 500 rupees cheaper. And when you look at even other iPhones, you know that ultimately the market operating price is going to be lower than the MRP that Apple has set. So at some point you are going to get the iPhone SE 2020 for less than what a OnePlus 8 would cost you.
I think that the pricing of the OnePlus 8 is definitely good right now. And we should also remember that OnePlus phones pricing doesn't change all that much. I think the OnePlus 7T, we saw a drop of something like 2,000 rupees on the base variant. So with the OnePlus 8, if you're expecting discounts in the future, whenever this lockdown lifts and we get to see these phones, So I think that the price will definitely come down eventually, as it always does. But by the time that happens, the discount will probably is not going to be that much. So around 40,000 rupees is probably the best you can expect the OnePlus 8 to go to, based on what we've seen in the past of other OnePlus phones. With the iPhone now, Aditya, you raise an interesting point there. The actual price of iPhones that are being sold in the market often varies quite a bit. Now, you know, for a long time, we've seen that Apple has this tie-up with HDFC Bank, I think, where if you have an HDFC card, you get a fairly big discount on these iPhones. I remember I bought an iPad, and I think you were the one who had given me the card at that point. So I got some discount of 3,000 or 4,000 rupees on the iPad. So if they have something similar for this one, which is the OnePlus, sorry, not the OnePlus 8, the iPhone SE 2020. Yeah, so if they have some kind of a discount like that, then the price could be quite a bit lower. I mean, even if they give a discount of 3,000, this phone goes under 40,000 rupees, and at which point it becomes a like even more attractive proposition, in my opinion.
So, but don't forget over here that OnePlus can do the exact same thing, and it's only a matter of time before it starts selling for 39,999 or something of the sort.
Yeah. No, so, you know, at this point, I would say that it's, you know, these schemes would be slightly unlikely because, you know, the rupee dollar is not favoring at least OnePlus to give outright price cuts, and banks, given the current situation, don't want to give cashbacks just to increase transactions. So it'll remain, you know, we'll have to wait and see how it goes out. But I would say that, you know, OnePlus has smartly managed to get that price down, even by launching a variant specific to India. So I'm not sure what different challenges this particular variant might have, because, you know, when these guys are designing other software and stuff, it will be designed with probably keeping 8GB RAM in mind. So this 6GB RAM variant might have some other issues, or, you know, I really don't know. But the
6GB variant has been around for a while. I mean, even the 70 does have a 6GB variant. So I don't think it'll be very difficult for them to adapt to a 6GB variant. I'm sure they have the RAM chips lying around in their factory somewhere.
Absolutely.
And it'll be fairly easy for them to kind of work the software. I mean, the software is essentially the same. They're still running on Android 10. So it's not even like there's been a shift to a new version of Android, as is the case with the T series phones. At this point, it should be easy enough for them to adapt. But just another thing that about the RAM, I mean, I read something a few months ago, and I think it's particularly apt over here. Somebody on Twitter said that the amount of RAM in a smartphone and the amount of sleep you get at night corresponds to roughly the same thing. 6GB RAM and 6 hours of sleep is fine, but not optimal. 8GB RAM and 8 hours of sleep is the correct perfect amount. 10GB RAM and 10 hours of sleep means you're kind of overdoing it a little bit. And 12GB RAM with 12 hours of sleep means you're compensating for something else.
Man, I have an iPhone 7. I should probably get like 1 hour of sleep every night. Anyways, so that was a very interesting anecdote, even though it probably doesn't have any basis in reality. But yeah, what I would like to add here is that with the iPhone SE in particular, now this is a model that is, we've only seen one of this before. The previous iPhone SE was launched in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And with that model in particular, we've seen some insane price drops. Like I say, insane means it was launched at 40,000 rupees, which was much more than 40,000 rupees today, I should say that, considering that the price of the US dollar versus the rupee was a completely different thing at that time, and the GST rates were also lower. I don't think GST was effective back then. Yeah, so the tax rates were a little lower also at that time. Now we've gone to 18% tax on smartphones as well. So considering all of those things, 40,000 rupees at that time seemed quite a bit expensive, and then eventually we saw that phone dropping down to something like, I think 2 years later it was down to under 20 also for the base variant. So this is a model that I think Apple doesn't update that often. It probably the SE 2020 will also be around for a while. And if that happens, then 6 months down the line, when OnePlus launches the next smartphone, this iPhone SE will be available at a much lower price. And things will look a lot different at that time, in my opinion, because Apple's A13 chip is very powerful. It's going to be relevant even maybe next year easily, in the sense that, you know, all the latest stuff it should be able to handle. And this phone gets some other hardware as well, which is like really good to see in a smartphone that, you know, costs this much. Like it is IP rated, for example, has an IP67 rating, and it even supports wireless charging. So that is another good thing to see. So for that price, what you're getting from this smartphone is amazing, and which is why I worry a bit that, you know, by not shipping those things in the OnePlus 8, OnePlus has missed out a bit. Now Apple is definitely making, even though the iPhone SE has its own problems, like the design is really old and it looks absolutely ancient, it is in some ways making the OnePlus 8 look like a bit of a compromise, in my opinion. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I would say that not everyone who's willing to spend on, say, a OnePlus 8 would be looking at the iPhone SE as, you know, an alternative, because for someone who wants the OnePlus 8, I think one of the main reasons is going to be that big display, bezel-less display with a hole punch camera over there, RAM, Oxygen OS and stuff. And for someone who would really want iOS, I would think they would probably be willing to spend little extra for maybe the iPhone XR or the iPhone 11, because you get Face ID, you get a much bigger display. The iPhone SE 2020, I think, is going to appeal to someone who's been using the iPhone 6S, 6, 7, or probably the 8 as well, does not want to go away from that particular form factor, that particular size, but wants it to be up to date, you know, be more powerful, be capable of clicking good photos, 4K video recording and stuff. So I think there are two completely different audiences here. For someone, I don't think for someone who want, who's willing to pay like 40,000 rupees for the OnePlus 8 would look at the iPhone SE 2020. He'll probably look at the Galaxy S20 as, you know, an alternative if they're willing to spend extra, or some other smartphone, maybe an iQOO 3 or something, if they don't want to spend that much.
Hmm. Ali, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I agree that just from a personal perspective, I mean, if I were to buy a new phone right now and my options were literally between Android and iOS, I think I would look at a higher end iPhone, simply because, I mean, we're looking at the iPhone SE, is it has dated design, it has just a single camera setup, which may or may not be a very big deal. I mean, like, I'm sure it takes very good photos, but there are a lot of people that want, you know, the fanciness of having the triple camera setup. They want the screen to be larger and proper bezel-less. The OnePlus 8 also has HDR10 support, which is something that's particularly important to me. So for reasons like that, it's kind of a no-brainer. I would pick the OnePlus at the same price, simply because I'm looking at a phone that has those hardware capabilities. I mean, it's not really competition. If I was basing it on a competition between the two operating systems, I would be looking at a higher end iPhone, such as the 12 Pro or something of the sort.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a, you know, I think 2x the price or more, the iPhone 12 Pro, whenever it launches. I don't think it's going to be under 1 lakh rupees. So that's a completely different ball game. But yes, I mean, definitely point taken that the OnePlus's display is like, I think in some ways, it's a 90 hertz panel, right, on the OnePlus 8. The OnePlus 8 Pro is the one that I wanted to talk about for the display in particular. But yeah, I mean, if you want an OLED panel and if you don't want an LCD panel at all, then yes, you definitely cannot consider any of these iPhones. But yeah, Aditya, you also made an interesting point with the XR and the SE being in the same price bracket as the OnePlus 8. So whether OnePlus likes it or not, whether we like it or not, I think iPhone and OnePlus are now going to be in direct competition this year whenever people are able to buy smartphones, because of these two devices being in the same price range. And it's going to be a little more difficult for OnePlus now, because previously when they used to launch these devices, right, they were trying to enter the premium segment. So at around the 50,000 plus rupee price range, which is where I think the 7 Pro started with, if I'm not mistaken, 48,999 or something like that was the original price of the 7 Pro. Which was their attempt at a pop-up selfie camera and like a modern design. So I think at that price point, they didn't have that much competition at that time. The Galaxy S10e was also slightly ahead in terms of pricing, like slightly more expensive.
56.
Yeah, so that's why like...
56,000.
Yeah, that's why they had a bit of an empty field over there at that time. And with the OnePlus 7, it was at 32,999. So over there also, there was not too much competition. Now, if they lower their price, they start competing with the likes of Realme and iQOO, which are both cousin brands of OnePlus. I think they both have Snapdragon 865 smartphones in the 35 to 40,000 rupee price range. And if they increase their price, then they start competing immediately with Apple, because look, iPhone SE at 42,500, and we also have the iPhone XR, which I've seen very often at like 45, 46,000. And even with the new GST rates, it will be available at around that price if you know where to look. So, you know, this battle is going to be pretty interesting. But I think, you know, we've spoken enough about these two smartphones. Let's also talk about the OnePlus 8 Pro, because in my opinion, that is the no compromise OnePlus phone that everyone should be aiming for. So the first thing is starting price. 54,999 is the starting price for the base variant. And there's also a higher variant. Is that at 60,000 rupees or slightly lower?
It's just about at 60,000, 15999.
Yeah, so the OnePlus 8 Pro is the smartphone with the 120Hz screen. So that's the one with absolutely no compromises as far as I can tell. It has an IP rating and wireless charging. Now that IP rating has a big asterisk around it, because at this point, I don't think it's confirmed whether that particular feature is coming to India or not. And I'd probably bet that it is not coming to India simply because they've hit a really, really good price point with this device, in my opinion. Even though it is like north of 50,000 rupees, what they're giving you in terms of like modern technologies and all, I think that, you know, they probably won't ship it here just to like, you know, be able to hit a certain price point and not go entirely into Samsung S20 territory. What are your thoughts on this particular point?
You know, the pricing, I would say, yes, it's at least not way off the OnePlus 70 Pro. For that matter, so 59,000, 55,000 rupees for the 8GB RAM, 128GB version, and 60,000, I think it's fair. But I think for IP rating, it shouldn't be a star mark there, because I think when I'm paying more than 50,000 rupees for a smartphone, I want, you know, IP rating there. And it's not something that, you know, okay, I'm going to go and dip my phone in water. It is a good to have kind of a feature, and I would want it because every other smartphone in that price range is offering it. Because you know, I spend in a little more over 60,000 rupees, you get the Galaxy S20, which is capable of doing that as well, and it's equally powerful. You're not missing out on much. You have the good One UI that's running on top of Android 10 there as well. But, you know, there's not a huge difference, because Samsung used to have the lead when it comes to AMOLED displays there. But now OnePlus is also doing a very good job. And this too has got a Quad HD Plus panel there. So that way it's good there.
It's definitely a good device for the price, but another thing now about the pricing is that, yes, it's getting a bit too close to the Samsung range, and I have a feeling that if somebody can spend 55,000 or 60,000 rupees, I'm sure they can spend 70 or 75,000 as well. This segment, yeah, isn't as price sensitive as the budget segments, where even 2,000 rupees matters massively. 500 rupees also matters massively. So in this case, I don't think the price is such a factor when you're dealing with the OnePlus 8 Pro and its competition. At this point, people are buying the OnePlus 8 Pro because they want the OnePlus 8 Pro, not because it's cheaper.
Absolutely.
And they're buying it because, you know what, it's got Oxygen OS, it's got the Snapdragon 865, where Samsung smartphones in India at least have Exynos processors. It's got the wireless charging. Now, yes, it doesn't have an IP rating. That is a big drawback over here. But it kind of achieves everything else, and people are buying OnePlus phones because they know the software is going to be up to date for the next 2 or 3 years to come. They know that this device charges really, really quickly. Now, even the wireless charging is faster than what anybody else offers. So that is essentially the thing over here, that, I mean, you're buying a OnePlus 8 Pro because you want a OnePlus 8 Pro, not because it's cheaper than a Samsung or an iPhone. At that point, the price matters very little.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that one. About the OnePlus 8 Pro, I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is that it's not confirmed yet whether the IP rating will come to India or not. So don't take that as a fact. There was some speculation online about it, and they are launching it in the US for those carrier models, right? Once they in the US, the system is different, where you have players like Verizon and AT&T who seem to be able to control a lot of the smartphone market over there, in the sense that all the sales happen through these guys, which is, you know, probably why like a lot of these Chinese companies are not able to enter US as easily as they've done in India. So all the carrier devices over there have like IP rating, and so, OnePlus 8 Pro specifically.
You know, does the Verizon version have, does it have the wireless charging as well? Is it confirmed that it has that 30 watt wireless charging as well?
Based on what I read online, I think it does. I'm because not 100% sure on that, but
I
think it has.
I believe the wireless charger is an optional extra. I'm sure wireless charging is built in.
Okay, because
an optional extra.
Because you know what I was thinking is, if you are going to charge a phone at what, 30 watts, right? It's warp charge 30 wireless. So if you're going to charge a smartphone at 30 watts, it's going to get warm. It's literally going to get hot. So it might just have additional vents or something to try to maintain a lower temperature. a healthy temperature for the smartphone, which might be the reason that it lacks IP
fair
rating.
Point. I mean, that's a logical point.
Yeah, so that's the only thing I could think of, because you know, if it does not have that kind of wireless charging support on the Verizon model, that is why it probably does not have the IP rating. Otherwise, I don't see a point, because if you're going to also completely seal a smartphone, there's no way you can wirelessly charge it very, very quickly. We've seen other brands, you know, have like fans as well in their charging pads in order to cool it. So I think this was the Huawei smartphone, if I'm not wrong. So they've had to put in an additional fan in the wireless charger just to keep the device cool.
Well, that's like, you know, going back in time a little. It's almost like, you know, my current living conditions. There's no AC in my house. I'm sweating all day and crying that I did not, you know, install an AC earlier. Similarly, I suppose, instead of, you know, liquid cooling or some kind of air conditioning inside the smartphone, there is a fan in a couple of these devices. I think there was one gaming phone.
Multiple.
Nubia Red Magic.
So, yeah, the Nubia Red Magic had it. The Nubia Red Magic 3S had it. Then you had the Asus ROG.
Yeah, and the Black Sharks have liquid cooling as well. So, even that's an option. Yeah.
So, would have been, you know, nice to see something like that. But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, overall, both these devices look pretty attractive. I'm just a little disappointed with the OnePlus 8 in particular. The 8 Pro looks like a no-compromise device as of now. Once the India launch happens, we'll obviously be able to say more about the camera and things like that, which we haven't really spoken about. Just one last point I wanted to bring up before we wrap this episode up is that with the OnePlus 8, I'm a little disappointed also because after we put up the video on our YouTube channel, a couple of people commented saying that on the OnePlus 8, they've removed the telephoto lens that was present on the OnePlus 7T, which is something that they were a bit disappointed about. What are your thoughts on that particular development?
No, that's definitely a useful feature, I think. The telephoto lens is something, I mean, I have a 7T Pro with me right now and I use the telephoto lens all the time. So it's definitely something that is disappointing. I would have liked to see it on the 7T. I think it is there on the 7T. I mean the 8. It's something that I would have liked to see on the 8. I think it is there on the 8 Pro. I'm not too sure, but yeah, it's something that is definitely useful, and I'm in agreement with some of those commenters on our channel. It should have been there in the 8 and 8.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, like Ali said, the 8 Pro does have that telephoto lens. The 8 does not have it. And what I would say is, you know, a normal and a wide is something that would work for me. A telephoto is not exactly a must-have, but you know, if it's there, good. Otherwise, I'm completely fine with missing out on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a huge loss as such. I mean, it's useful. It may not be a huge loss. It's just that it's a bit sad to see some of these things which were there in the previous device go away now. So, you know, like I would like to have an interview with somebody from OnePlus at some point explaining these design decisions, because that would be really interesting to see. Yeah. So, okay, I think with that, we can wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can also check out the reviews section and the features section on Gadgets360.com for more reviews and more features on all things tech. These news is obviously where, you know, a lot of you people are already there. But reviews and features is also where we are doing some really cool articles right now. So definitely do check that out for tips and tricks, guides, and of course, reviews. And one more thing I need to ask from all of you is that if you're using any podcast app such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anything else, please subscribe to us, rate the show, and review it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.